thank you so much, Dominic. And we're always excited on our missions committee, just trying to walk with the short-term teams. And also there's a process as far as, where else might we go, or should we not go to this place again this year? Just try and think through it. And this Costa Rica trip, and just Minister Dominic's a lot of work behind the scenes. Really appreciate that. And we'll see what God does next year. But I think the youth especially have been waiting to find out if it was a green light or not. So now you know it's a green light. We, as we continue worshiping, obviously there's ways to do it. We can sing. We can pray. We try, even in our announcements, to highlight ministries that in which we can be involved and to serve. But another way we can worship our God is by offerings. Offering, right away, we often think of the offering box we have outside. That is one way we give our offerings. Some people do ask, actually, say, especially visitors, like, well, you guys don't pass the plates here and stuff. So we have online giving. You go to our website or go through that process. But we also have a box outside with some envelopes if that's the way you would like to give. We do believe that God wants us as the church to be faithful. He's given us everything we have. And he's given us instructions in his word as far as how we value, what we need to value. And today's message will also really lead into that. Not my will, but yours be done. But I'm going to pray right now. And I ask that during this time, you would also just pause. We are in missions month. And especially today's message will be challenging us and hopefully encouraging us to consider maybe the offering may be more than just a check that is written. Or, a portion of the allowance that you have. Perhaps God is calling you to go even further in offering of yourself, your family, to him, to serve where he wants you to serve. So this time, again, as part of our worship, I invite you to pray in your hearts as I pray out loud for God to take what is given and to multiply it 10 times, 50 times, 100 times over for his kingdom. So I invite you to pray together with me. Our Father, we come to you and we are thankful that you, we're thankful for all the blessings you've given to us. It is very easy, unfortunately, for us to just forget the giver and just to focus on the gift. These gifts are valuable and precious. These gifts you've given to us are amazing. They're beyond what we deserve. Forgive us, Lord, when we feel like it's just the result of our hard labor. God, we wouldn't even be able to labor. We wouldn't even be able to breathe. We wouldn't be able to get out of bed if it were not for your graciousness and your love and mercy to us. Father, you've given us the command, but also the privilege to worship you well. And the way that we worship you, Lord, is as we understand you more, as we read your word, as we interact in fellowship, as we pray, and we understand you more and more. Just like any relationship, by spending time with that person, that is how we get to know them more. And the thing that's unique about our relationship with you is the more we get to know you, it's not that we're finding, oh, now we see this flaw here. Oh, okay, well, I knew it was too good to be true. They're not 100% perfect. But our relationship with you, you are perfect. You are 100% loving. You are holy. You are merciful. You are gracious. You are just. So it's a win-win when we get to know you, Lord. And as we know you, our hearts are transformed and we worship you well. So God, stretch us in this area of giving, of offering. Giving of our time, giving of our talents, giving of our friendships and relationships, giving of our monies, our resources. We want to build your kingdom, God. It's not about ACC. God, it'd be great if we actually didn't have a name, but it'd be hard for people to find us. But Lord, it's not about Austin Chinese Church. It's not about the English, Mandarin, Cantonese, youth, or elderly. God, it is about Jesus Christ and exalting him and giving the message of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world around us, a world that is desperately looking for hope. So, Lord, please take our offerings. Use it for your kingdom. Stretch us, Lord, so that we give by faith, not out of comfort. God, help us to do so with cheerfulness and with joy. And God, truly, as today's message we'll be talking about, it's not our will, but may yours be done. So thank you for giving us this privilege to worship you in offerings. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you do have your Bibles, please take it and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Today's message will be short, but mainly because I have other people helping me with today's message. As I mentioned, today is Missions Month. This month is Missions Month, and so we've had Missions Conference the first weekend. Last weekend, last Sunday, one of our homegrown, who is now a pastor in Taiwan, was able to come and share God's word. We just have a special emphasis during this month. And today, I'd like to have us ponder this thought, not my will, but yours be done. And we'll be looking at Luke 22 in just a moment. I'd like to ask you if you'd pause and just ask yourself, what is the most precious thing that you have? What is the most precious thing that's in your possession? Now, it's easy for us to think right away of material things. But perhaps the most precious thing you have right now is a concept or an idea. And it's just something that's been on your heart, and it's always on your mind, and you're thinking about it, you're dreaming about it, you're trying to discern how to move forward on it. But that right now is the it just consumes you. For some of you, it may be your education. That is precious because you know it's been a gift given to you. I know it's not always pleasant sometimes, but right now you're trying to be a good steward of that, but it's very precious. Obviously, there's people. There's people in your lives that are very precious to you. That's why we shed tears if some of them leave this earth before we do. It is normal. It's good to cry during that time because it shows our heart that that relationship is and was very precious to us. For some, it might be a car. Some, it might be a book that you value and you protect. There's a lot of different things. For some, it's our house. It's precious because it costs so much. For some, it's our children. What is the most precious thing? Some of you, your most precious thing is your health. You stop at nothing. You put the time in, you put the money in because you want to take care of that very precious thing. So, you don't have to answer to me. Just in your own heart, I invite you, struggle with this as the message goes along. Luke chapter 22, verse 39, just the quick setting. Many of you are familiar with this story. This is while Jesus was on earth, approximately around when he was 33 or so. He had been born as a baby in a manger and had grown up to be a carpenter's son. He was obviously God, 100%, but then he was also human, 100%. The only God-man that has ever been alive and that we know of, right? He is the only and uniquely the God-man. He knew he had to go to the cross. He chose to go to the cross. But before he went to the cross, he had just had the Last Supper with his disciples. He'd shared what we have in John 12, 13 through chapter 17 of John. We have a recording of what he shared from his heart with his disciples at that Last Supper. You know, one of them snuck out and betrayed him, Judas Iscariot. So while Judas is doing his deed and about to bring those that were going to come to arrest Jesus, we have this passage. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39 says this, "And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" Obviously, there's a lot that's here in this passage. I'm going to give you just a real simple outline. First of all, the struggle that Jesus was going through was real. I don't believe Jesus was saying, "I don't want to go to the cross," and there's different schools of thought, but this cup that Jesus was saying, can I not have to drink of this cup, was the cup of suffering. He obviously still loved everybody. He loved each of us here. And he proved his love. He was about to. But he struggled. Because his human side, just like you and me, we do not like pain. We do not like discomfort. We do not enjoy suffering. Unless any of us make a mistake, this struggle that Jesus was going through was real. It was so real, even physically it was manifested. His sweat was like drops of blood. Whether it was just the way the sweat came out, that it flowed out like blood, or you know, whether it was actually blood that came out. You know, those who are medical can speak more to this, but my understanding is that actually it was like blood that came out. That's how intense the scriptures say. He prayed more earnestly. There's nothing so about this struggle that Jesus went through. As he was saying those words, "Not my will, but yours be done," it wasn't a flippant God side of the equation speaking. It was the God-man coming before his Father of all people. His Father was asking him to drink this cup of suffering, to surrender his life. His Father was saying that. And he was going to his Father and say, "Father, is there any way that I don't have to drink of this cup?" The struggle was real. The surrender was volitional. In other words, this surrender was a choice that Jesus made. He could have called angels. He could have called angels to rescue him so that he did not have to go through it. He could have. He had that power too. He did not do anything where he deserved to die. I mean, we deserve a lot of things. Some of it because of the wrong that we've done. Some of it because good we've done. But Jesus definitely did not deserve to die. It was a choice of his will. As he looked through the ages of eternity, past and eternity future, from that moment where we have recorded here, I believe he saw and knew of each of you here, each of us here. He said, "No, I choose. I choose for you and for you and for you and for you and for me." Jesus chose. It was a volitional, it was a decision he made. The surrender was real. It was a choice. The struggle was real. The surrender was volitional. But I want to also end this short time is that the satisfaction that Jesus experienced was life-changing, specifically life-changing for us. But let me read Hebrews 12 for you, verse 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us." So we have the command, we have the exhortation there. And then we have the example we're supposed to follow, verse 2, Hebrews 12, 2. "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." So Jesus, he could look at the cross, but he actually saw beyond the cross to the joy, to the satisfaction, to the favor and the joy of his Father. He looked beyond the cross because he knew in his heart that the satisfaction that he would experience was life changing. In other words, he knew that this was the right thing. He knew that this is what would bring joy. And beyond, he looked beyond that cross and saw what he was supposed to do. So the struggle was real. The surrender was volitional. And the satisfaction was life-changing. And his obedience to the Father has changed each person's heart in here, each life in here. Especially for those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. Now, some of you maybe say, "Pastor, I'm not quite there yet. This is my first time to your church, the first time I've heard about this Jesus. So I'm not quite sure what you mean about this life-changing thing." And just in a nutshell, it's Jesus came to take care of our sin problem. We are on our way to eternal death, every person who has sinned here, which is all of us. But the only way to restore the relationship with God so that we are declared righteous is if someone took the punishment. And Jesus said, "I will take their punishment." And it has changed the lives of many hundreds and millions of people. That's why we have Missions Month. That's why our hearts must burn for the nations, not just us here, but that every man, woman, and child, no matter what language, what age, that they would also hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what are you holding on to? What is your precious? What is that idea? What is that person? Who or what are you holding on to? And if God came to you one-on-one and said, would you give that to me? Would you give him or her to me? What would we say? What would I say? I'm not here to say, oh, well, if you're just like me, please don't be just like me. What would we say if we were one-on-one with God? Some of you in here, God is absolutely calling you to be missionaries. As I've watched during second hour when we have discovery group, and we've been having these sharings, the room's been packed. I know not all of you have been able to make it, but I encourage you to join us. And as I'm watching from the front, you know, we've had different teams share. And one thing I feel like it's unique to this year, but there is a drawing in. There is a leaning forward of people who are there. Starting our high schoolers, I guess our ninth grade and up are in there with us. There are adults in the back. There are people who are stopping. There are people who are emotional as they're drawn in and hearing what God's doing. I believe God is doing something, and I do believe God is calling some of us in here to go to the nations. Not my will, but yours, God, be done. This burning heart for the nations, the reason why we have this thing, because when you have something burning, you don't just sit there and like, oh, it's burning. You do something about it. You cannot just say, oh, it's burning. It's something that you have to address. And that is our prayer for our church, that we will not sit on our blessed assurance and say, God, I know there's a needy world out there. There's a lost and dying world. Here am I, Lord. Send them. No. May we all have a burning heart. Perhaps some of you are called to be here to go to full-time vocational ministry. Our churches need pastors and leaders, ministers. We need people in the full-time. We obviously need lay people. God has brought all of us here for a reason. But what is God calling you to do? And we don't have this challenge very often. I am very blessed to have some friends for our Mandarin congregation here. And let me set this up, and why don't you guys go ahead and come on up. Wayne and Jen Ho are here from, Jen Ho Huang are here, and I am going to just do a simple interview with them, and let me just set this up for you. A few weeks ago, Jennifer and Stephen Chang, who are missionaries, why don't you guys take the middle on the microphones there. They are missionaries of ours in Thailand, and they're a part of a team. And because they were in town, several weeks ago, I was thinking, oh, you know, it'd be great if we could interview them to say, what was it like for you to tell your parents that God was calling you? And there was a pause. And then they said, you know what, we won't be able to be there on the 20th. They are serving. They're on home assignment, but they had other responsibilities. And then I said, okay, well, let's get the parents. Let's get Chow Ling and Jenny, who are in the Cantonese congregation, who are Stephen's parents, to share. And then we'll have Jennifer's parents too. And so what happened is I'm going to have a quick interview here with Wayne and Jen Ho. But then also we have a video prepared from Chow Ling and Jenny. And I pray that as you hear and as you listen, that you will not say, oh, that's a good story for them. In light of the message title and in light of what we're pondering, maybe God will be talking to you through them. So, Wayne and Jen, yeah, you got each take one of those mics. Just to briefly introduce yourself, actually, let's go through this real quick. So that was Jennifer and Stephen. Let's go back a little bit. So this was several years ago. Jen hasn't changed much. And then Stephen, they've been overseas now for 5 years now? Is it 5 years?
Six years now.
And let's go back a little bit. Next slide. As you can see, that one circle there, this is in Morrison Hall, I believe, that picture. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So that little girl that circled there is Jennifer years ago. Wayne and Jen Ho, you guys have been at ACC how many years now?
We have been with ACC from day one. That's 19, 40. When we first built a church, and when we first gather all the families together, that was back to 79.
Okay. So it's been a while. So 40 years. They have three daughters and one son. That's not the son. That's the grandson. But they have three daughters, and so you see Jennifer there, and then you see them, obviously, as a family, a lot of love and enjoyment. Next slide, please. So let me just briefly describe, if you would, how you all came to know Christ, and when I already asked you how you, when you started attending, but just a brief introduction of yourselves.
Yeah, I believed in Jesus from I was very young, very small, but I kind of rebelled and ran away, and finally I became Christian after 4 years, graduated from university.
Yeah. Okay. And Jen?
I was born in a Christian family. My mother is a very good Christian. So we went to church with her every Sunday, but I reconfirmed my faith in high school.
Okay, very good. And again, you've been in Austin since about 79 or so,
right.
One of the founding families. So on one hand, we might think, oh, this interview, okay, you know, it'll be easy. Of course we give our child to God. But
I'm very nervous.
Okay, so am I, so it's okay. Describe Jennifer for us. A lot of people here don't know her personally, so just a few snapshots of who she is.
She's the most lovely girl in the world.
After your wife, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she's the youngest of our four children. She's so precious. We thank God to have this baby after her three older siblings.
Now, if I remember, you also, there was a few years you actually worked overseas.
Right.
And Jennifer was what age? What grade?
Jennifer was the first year of high school,
high
right?
School.
At that
so
time.
Ninth grade?
Yeah.
Tenth and 11th.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved in. Yeah.
All right. Okay, yeah. I got an assignment from my company, IBM, assigned me to China starting from 2005 to 2011.
And so during that time, she was the only one still at home. So she was the one that had the privilege to go with you as a 10th grader to leave here and to go overseas, right? So you had a lot of time with her then,
right.
Also, right?
Yeah.
So really very precious time, right?
She did not want to go with us in the beginning. I think that's a totally new environment. And also for her to go to China, meaning she would have to use Chinese as the language. It was a little bit scary to her in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But it turned out to be excellent experience.
Jen Ho, can you share the story of that you shared with me this past week, just of something you observed when she was young?
Oh, yeah. She's very sensitive to the God call since was very young. Yeah, I observed she played with her good friend, Lauren, play church. They will pretend to invite people come to the
church.
How
old was she at the time?
She was 5. And she actually serious thinking her friends who they can invite come, and they will invite them, and she say, yeah, you should believe Jesus and Jesus will save you clearly. So she got the message, and another time she asked where God lives, and I say, oh, God lives in the sky, in the heaven. And she said, oh, I know who has been in the heaven. It has God, grandma's mom, and Care Bears. Because you know those Care Bears always live under the up the
bad.
Sky. Yeah.
Care Bears live on top of clouds, right?
Yeah, so yeah. It's so sweet. But another thing she will thinking, say, because after we say God also lives in our heart. And she seriously, can we just poke a little hole in our heart and see God there? So I know she has a special sensitivity and loving God from the very young.
Yeah. So let's get to the beginning of this journey as far as our context today. So Jennifer began to show some interest in pursuing long-term mission. So what was it like at the beginning? How did that happen?
Well, in the very beginning, she attended some of the church activities, go to Mexico, helping the poor building their residence at that time. And she was elementary school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no,
very young.
No,
yeah.
Middle school.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, in middle school. Yeah, mother always remember all the days, yeah.
Yep, okay.
But the special time is the youth group took two Thailand short-term mission trip, one in 2009, mm-hmm. She finished the high school, another in 2012. I think at that time when she came back, She shared her vision with us, and she really feels the burning heart to Thailand people. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Another period of time is when she was with me during the assignment in China. She entered the international school, and in the beginning, as I said, she was kind of like a reluctant. She wasn't that happy in the beginning, but later on, she became very happy because her language, as the primary language as English, was fully being used in the international school. And then in the meantime, the international school gave them a very good Chinese lesson. So she had a very good chance to polish her Chinese as a language. But during that 2-3 years of time when she was me, the school planned quite a few charity trips. Among them, like trips going to Yunnan and trips going to Xinjiang. That both trips have equipped her heart, because she was able to, during those trips, those are not like mission trips, but those are charity trips, she was able to see a lot of minority peoples and get to sense their environment, their lives, their struggling. So during that time, I think God really also equipped her as well.
Yeah.
Okay, but you are the parents that allowed her to do all this, right? Yes. I'm just saying, just want to make it clear,
yeah,
right? Yeah. So, okay. So here she is going on these mission trips, opportunities to serve. So she comes and tells you, especially after that second trip to Thailand, yeah, that she thinks God wants her to do mission. Okay, Mom and Dad, share with us. How was that conversation for you?
But she wanted to go to a long-term mission?
Yeah, when she told you that.
I was was not so happy to begin with. I was very reluctant. I was very hesitated. I just say, I say to myself, why me? Why my daughter? It's I say to God, I love you, God. No, please send all the people there, right, to be your servant, to do your job, to be your missionaries. But not mine. That's my to start with, okay. But I feel a little bit guilty for that thinking. But later on, during a meeting with the Launch Global, the sending
I'm the good Christian, right? Yeah, so I know it's good, but just secretly hope she will change mind later. After graduates get a good job, but she and Stephen persist, and so they just keep teaching us, because their teaching is you must get the blessings from your parents before you go to the mission field.
Okay. Launch Global, for those of you who don't know, is a mission, it's a mobilizing agency. Bob McNabb was here a couple weeks ago to speak for us. So Stephen and Jennifer and a few others from our church had this meeting. Actually, the parents had the meeting. So, Wayne, why don't you describe that meeting that you all had with Launch Global? I think Pastor Andy Campman from Stone came to meet with, and it was just the Chinese families.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Describe that meeting for us.
Yeah. Brother Andy came as a rep from the Launch Global with a whole bunch of parents. All the children, I mean, the children called to go for the long-term missions. All those children were not there. So only the parents.
Oh, it was only the parents.
Only the parents to meet with Andy. I think if Jennifer was there, my question could be, I would not be able to ask. Right. So it created this environment for all the parents to have a deep discussion with Launch Global rep. And Andy was there. He was kind of, basically he was beat it up by all the parents, and including one of our previous pastor
Enoch's dad.
Yeah,
Pastor Xi.
Yeah, Pastor Xi. Not any parents were saying, okay, we will go. No, it's just all the parents had a deep worry about the future. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't, but Andy was very good. He answered all the questions, and we basically it's just a reaction. You know, we worried about our own kids, but in the meantime, he delivered the message that we have to follow God's will.
So after that, though, maybe Jen Ho, you could take this. What were your conversations like with Jennifer after that meeting, as you see them moving towards this goal, and you know they wanted to get the parents' blessings? So what were conversations like after that meeting?
Yeah, she just she still showed us that she respected the parents, she loved us, and she explained the things, what the organization will operate, how the environment will be, what their 3 years strategy, and just make sure to let us understanding their what they are going to do, and they will be good, and just say we can be her partners in this way.
So a lot of communicating from her.
Yeah, that's a lot of communication, and we finally surround her and just accept their plan and let them go. Yeah,
she even did do the charts and show us what the organizations will do, what the environment in Thailand will be, even before she went there.
Well, what were some of your fears?
Right.
What were some of the fears that you guys had in your heart for her?
Quite a few fears, and I think there's a lot of struggling at that time. Back then, Jennifer graduated from UT Austin, the business school with a marketing degree, and in fact, she got a dual degrees from UT. So that's a very good start. We are so proud of her, and we were waiting to see her take off from that point. A good living, good job, good salary, good career life, and she did get a very good job. She was the first batch of hiring by Facebook in Austin, and during the first year, she worked very well for Facebook. But then toward the end of the first year, she said she would quit. That kind of struck me at that time. Any plan for your future? How do you think of what the next you would do? And the parents kind of invested in you so much, and this is a time to see all the fruits. But all of a sudden, she said, I would quit, I would go for God's work. So
just a lot of things in your heart. You're wanting to walk with her, but yet there's these fears, these concerns, right?
Yes.
Well, obviously I wish we have an hour or so with you, but right now, what's your relationship like with Jennifer?
Oh, we are her fan.
I echo that. We were her fans.
Yeah, we communicate her often. We love her, and she's become so God loves a strong lady. Yeah, we are very proud of her and Stephen. Yeah,
she's very smart. I think during the entire process, she forced Jen Ho and I to go to the perspective class.
Right.
And that kind of opened up our eyes and widened our view. And that helped a lot.
Okay.
So I think that she demonstrated her capability of doing a very good communication.
She texted us last night at 12. Oh. Saying, how do you feel? Are you ready?
We're recording it. Yeah. Can you guys record this, please? I think she's a little nervous. So,
Last night she texted me and said, don't get too nervous on stage. I said, I will be nervous.
Well, how about this? We're going to be showing a video next, but can you share with us what God used from his word to encourage each of you? I think each of you had a Bible verse or something. Did you?
Oh, yeah. I have one Bible verse when Pastor Gaylor asked me. This is Isaiah chapter 55. Verses 8 through 9. Let me read it. Our Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let me just read it in Chinese, because I always read my Bible in Chinese. 耶和华神说，我的意念非同你的意念，我的道路非同你的道路。天怎样高过地，照样我的道路 高过你们的道路，我的意念高过你们的意念。Yeah, Jeho has a verse.
Yeah, I have one when I prayed with my children, for my children. Yeah, and the comfort from God. I can memorize in Chinese, but 当将你的事交托耶和华，并倚靠他，他就必成全。Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do this.
Thank you. Well, I wish we had more time, but let's give a hand to Jen Ho and Wayne. Thank you so much.